Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
We open the whole thing up with G-E-E-K, Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle. It's not actually dead. Turns out Black Panther's a giant movie, and we had superheroes are everywhere. Actually.
Yes.
It's everywhere, so they're not dead. For those that don't know, this is the show where we talk about nerd and geek stuff for an hour every Wednesday from 9 to 10. This is the show. We are the people, and we have stuff to talk about tonight.
We're the persons. Yes.
We're the persons. We are the dudes. We're the hostess with the mostest hostesses. I wish we had hostesses.
Oh, my gosh.
That would have been really great. Just tons of those.
I wish we weren't a non-commercial statement. I'd all be all about that hostess.
That's it. It was like, you know what really gets me in the mood for radio? This product
that we can't say right now.
We have a website. It's exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P. We have news, reviews, and all of our audio uploaded there. I say all. There's a little asterisk next to it. We're working on a backlog. Everybody knows.
Yep.
If you're still listening, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it.
You're listening live because it's kind of old. It's probably since August.
You're still on the street curb waiting for Dad to pick you up.
See, please, any day. He's coming, though.
Your mom's just outside the window, just looking through the blinds.
If you want to stay on the up and up what we're doing, though, you can check out our social media at exppoints.com/social. We have Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, Steam Community, all that stuff.
Go ahead
and check it out. Like and subscribe.
Also, shameless plug real quick. Download the Radio FX app for your phone. You can use KSLU. Make that your home station. You can listen to the radio literally wherever you are.
I did exactly those two things because I'm like, I'm going to go to the website. And I'm like, no. I remember what Dustin said.
So if you want to be a cool guy like Matthew over here, download that app.
You filthy animals.
I almost dropped a bomb real quick.
That's okay.
I'm glad I stopped myself.
We got the beep button. Where's that beep button? I don't know.
Software
is hard now. We are going to cut to two songs. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about some of what you did, but I need to catch up because last week
I
was
dominated
all you.
That, yeah.
This is I've Always Been With You with Reverse Engineers and Mutant 64 by Say Repulse. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
I heard your name once before, Desmond, a long time ago. And now.
We're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm still, you know, MG. That's me.
You started it off like this, and every time I have to think about
hey, everybody,
who I am as a person.
You all know who I am. Who's this guy?
Yeah, it reminds me of a morning radio DJ. Let's not.
Hi, everybody. I've got my coffee, and things are going to get pumping.
Let's pump.
It's about to get funky, funky.
Let's do evening radio DJ. Like, hey, girl.
Bum, 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 bum.
Are you by yourself? I don't know. So creepy.
Light a fire. Not in your car.
So
we just heard Mutant 64 by Say Repulse. I've Always Been With You by Reverse Engineers. So, and I think I realized I spelled engineers wrong. I spelled engineers engineers instead of E-R-S.
Then you would have never have known that.
Well,
why did you share that?
I've come clean. My conscience, it is pristine.
Speaking of a conscience and actually nothing to do with it. Aren't segues tough? What did you do last week, man?
Okay, so I think in the last show, we talked a ton about what you did.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And we're not going to flash back. If you want to hear what you did last week, just go and wait like forever until I cut that episode and then I upload it. But I've been pretty busy. So we had some issues with the website. And that was like the first thing that started. I realized that our provider moved us in a weird way, and it didn't get moved all the way properly. So I called them. They were great. They fixed it. So the website's back.
It happens, everything's good. Yeah.
Started the ARC server. So if you find, okay. And that's been up for a little while. We were beta testing it, load testing it with some of my friends were load testing it. So EXP points, if you find that in the server browser, that's totally us for real. You can load up there. The password is EXP points, all lowercase.
Yeah.
And you can jump on as Ragnarok. It's great. It's been going. It's fine.
If you see anybody that pops up, I think my name is Ranger3604. Yep. That's your, the co-host.
Yeah.
So I expect VIP treatment in the
MG
server.
Just message MG if he's in game. If he's not, then just wait.
I'm going to poop on everything.
I have a mini keyboard. Like my keyboard is it's called a 60% keyboard. So I don't have the number pad. So I can't poop.
What?
I don't have this part that has the poop button.
You can reassign the poop button.
What?
Yeah, you could totally cut.
What if I need it? Like, what am I? I guess I could do like a function key that I'd never use.
If so. Pooping isn't a function.
F9, F poop.
No, Matt, it should be F2.
F2. Oh, that's good.
High five me.
Hold on.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good
that's
one.
That's going to pop on the mic.
Oh.
That's okay. So I did that. I bought and started playing Subnautica. And I really like Subnautica. It's great. It's not that great in VR. Some people would disagree, but I have a really nice like 21:9 ratio monitor. It's a 32-inch or a 34-inch monitor.
Ooh, nice.
And it's an ultra wide screen. It's like super, super wide screen. And I really like it. Like, I spent a lot of money on it. And, you know, it might be the last monitor I own for a decade.
Yeah.
And it's like 2K resolution. So it looks really good on that. And then I put the Oculus on and I'm like, well, this is cool and immersive, but, you know, it's not. It's still low resolution.
Does it add anything?
It adds in. I can like look around, and I can't use the I can use the touch controls, the Oculus Touch things, but it's like it's kind of in a weird way. Like, you can turn, but then you still have to use the joysticks on the touch controllers to turn.
Uh-huh.
If you really want to go in that direction, or you can look and you can go in that direction, but that only works if you're going forward. And you know, it's strange
To me. That was a very weird design choice going with touchpads for the Oculus controllers, because I felt like there was nothing wrong with a joystick.
They have joysticks on the individual ones.
Oh,
like
do
there's
they?
Joysticks. Yeah, there's a joystick on each of them. One of them's used to, I think, do menu operations in Subnautica, and one of them's used to actually move your, like, turn your body. And it's not like the most unnerving thing. I feel like, you know, in Fallout VR and Doom VR, like, they certainly have done worse things, like the teleport thing. It wouldn't work.
No,
in Subnautica.
I don't like that mechanic at all.
But I just leave the Oculus alone and I jump in and I play normally, and it's a really awesome game. It's Minecraft in the water. I haven't gotten very far in it because I'm pretty bad at the game, admittedly. Like, I need to go into like just free build mode and learn some of the mechanics. But every time, it's one of those games, kind of like Banished or any city builder that you build.
Yeah,
However, I love Banished. I wish they would update it. I wish they would continue development. Mod community is doing really good things in the workshop. So it's kind of like that, though, where the first few games you're just kind of getting your feet wet, learning what's going on. And then it's designed to force you to kind of commit to constantly restarting and restarting and restarting.
It's kind of like a Oxygen Not Included.
Exactly like Oxygen Not Included. I couldn't remember the name of the game, but
you have spent a few hours.
So many. It's one of those things
which
where,
I have as well.
When you write a bunch of things, or when you read a bunch of words, and you're like, college was one for me. I'd read college and I'd write college and I'd write college and I'd write college. I'm like, am I spelling college right?
Yeah.
You know, it's you kind of put it out of your mind. Oxygen Not Included, Banished. Those are exactly the types of games. So I need to play Subnautica more. That currently has been overruled by two things, and it's kind of frustrating. The first thing, just a personal pleasure of mine, there's a few shows that I constantly rewatch. Specifically, I rewatch Firefly.
Yeah.
And Battlestar Galactica.
Never watched it.
Oh my God, it's so good! I can't even explain.
Do I need to watch the 1970 series?
No. Don't skip that one. Start at the 2003 miniseries. I love Battlestar Galactica so much. I would even say that, and some people are going to get really upset what I'm about to say, but pound for pound, because there's 4.5 seasons of Battlestar Galactica with a number of other things, I think it's probably better than Firefly. But that's only because Firefly is so short and so short-lived, and even with Serenity and comics, it's not it's per episode. Yeah, there's way more heart in every episode of Firefly than there is in any episode of Battlestar Galactica. But when you lump it all together, there's such a significantly more like feeling and effort into Battlestar Galactica than there could have been in Firefly, just because it got canceled.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, Fox didn't do a great job of.
They aired it out of order.
Aired it out of order. Yeah. I mean, they didn't.
I didn't want it to succeed. It sucked.
It didn't suck. It just.
No, I mean, it sucked that they didn't want it to succeed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, but it was. That was a. And here's the thing, Firefly is a tough sell back then. Firefly is not such a tough sell now, because we got shows like Altered Carbon on Netflix, Stranger Things. Firefly now.
That could find a home on Netflix.
Easily.
But we shouldn't remake it or extend it. We should not do that. We should let it be where it's at.
If you're going to do anything with Firefly, because I know nothing is sacred in Hollywood.
Right.
Do it right. Don't try to remake the same crew and everything like that. Hey, you can have it be part of the same universe and kind of have be its own separate story with a different, if you're even going to have a crew or anything like that. But there's a lot in that universe that could be expanded upon and explored.
I agree.
And there could be a lot of new characters. Don't try to remake your same old characters. You can have a cameo or two if you'd like.
That's the thing. I mean, it was...
They're strong characters,
It was like
though.
15 years ago or 10 years ago or something. I mean, we've Christina Hendricks, I know...
Yeah, 15. It's about 15.
It's a while back, and it's just... You know, everybody's doing their own thing. People have made different careers and gone off and continue to do their thing. I mean, it would be very difficult, I think, to nail down anything. There may be an option to do a movie, another movie.
That speaks to Firefly's ability, how good it was, that everyone's career, even though it was one season,
That's the thing. Everybody went on to do, I wouldn't say bigger and better, but certainly different and still really good.
They're all still working.
They're all very, very, except Ron Glass. Ron Glass died, but I mean, you know, a Shepherd Book.
Yeah.
But I mean, like everybody from that series, even some of just the cameo people went on to go and just continue.
Christina Hendricks.
I was going to say, that's why I threw out Christina Hendricks.
Great example.
I was like, she's not built like that anymore. So I don't know that she could be Saffron in a new series.
Well,
anymore.
It would be an old, if it was her playing her character.
It would have to be an older
character.
Version of everyone.
Right.
I mean, it would have to be like, man, we've been running these stars for the last however long, but you know.
But then
it seems like a cop out at that point, 15 years later.
If you're going to do that, I would rather it be a different group of people.
I agree.
Or have her be in a group where, I don't think you'd have Christina Hendricks money. She's expensive now.
She's very expensive.
But
all of them are very expensive.
All of them are very expensive now.
I think probably
so
the most inexpensive one is the guy that played Simon.
Yeah, he's really the closest.
He really hasn't done much other than, I think he was on The Bachelor maybe.
I think he was on Ghost Rider too.
He was on Ghost Rider. He was on
something. No, I think that was somebody else. He looked just like him.
He hasn't done much, but everybody else has done a ton.
Everybody else has been. But what else? Before we talk about Firefly,
I'm sorry. I usually watch those two series over and over and over again. Because I love them, and there are there's movies that I always come back. I watch Ghost in the Shell, the anime, you know, at least once a year. I watch the entirety of the Muppet Show.
It's the Muppet Show.
I love it. I love it so much. I watch the entirety of the Muppet Show.
Steve Martin's best episodes.
I
like Steve Martin.
I liked the Luke Skywalker episode.
That's fun.
I love the George Burns episode. There's so many classics from that. Season one is really the classic Muppet Show episode. But anyway, all of those. But then I started rewatching King of the Hill.
That's a show I couldn't appreciate as a kid.
I have watched it several times as an adult. And I watched it growing up when it was actually, you know, episode to episode, week to week. And since it's been in syndication and everything, I realize now I appreciated it so little, even as an adult in college. But now that I have my own house and that I am moving forward with different stages of my life, I have neighbors. I can experience all of these things, and so I was living vicariously through them, and now I can understand all of those instances. So I'm rewatching King of the Hill. It's such an easy watch.
It's such a shame too, because King of the Hill speaks to an audience that doesn't really watch Adult Swim.
It's perfect for Adult Swim though. It would fit right in. I hope there's always this rumor that goes around, wouldn't it be funny if King of the Hill had a sequel show, you know, and King of the Hill replaced, you know, Bobby is now Hank and Hank is now Cotton and, you know, GH is Bobby's age. And
let it be.
It's that thing where I'm like, I could see that working, but I mean,
what would that add that the original didn't have already?
That's the thing. It would just, I wish I could just continue the original for another, I don't know, 13 seasons and enjoy that. But I also say that about MASH. MASH is, I think, other show that
I rewatch
MASH probably once every year, 2 years, because it's a rather long show. Mm-hmm. And I can only watch two episodes at a time because there's inevitably a really funny episode and a really sad episode.
They
mask them. You're like, if you watch, even you watch the show and you're like, oh, I really like this episode, because I say that about every episode, except one or two, and then it's a sad one, and I'm like, oh, I need to go drink wine.
Son of a, like, and it hits you, sucker punches
that's
you,
it.
Too.
That's it. I know, I can quote MASH like it's that big. See, we should have, there's this alternate verse of Experience Points Network that we were going to do a More to Geek where we talk about things and that aren't comic books and video games and things like that.
And how good friggin' and, MASH was.
Right. Yeah, it was like More to Geek, MASH edition.
Yeah.
But no, so the second thing that I've been doing is I have been replaying Final Fantasy XII. The new
Sin.
No.
Is that not
no,
the
that's,
Sin one?
No, that's 10. That's 10.
Oh, God.
It was 10 was Sin, and 10 was Titus, and Blitzball, arguably one of the best mini games.
Oh,
in
yeah,
Final Fantasy.
Blitzball, yeah.
And then 11 was the first online version.
Okay.
And then 12 was, I'm trying to think of a good way to say it. It introduced the Gambit system, which was neat. And I would like to talk about that after we play some music. I would like to discuss that, how I love this, after we play some music, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Life is Strange by Dan Bull, Prey, a replica by Miracle of Sound, and then Solar Sailor, the Pretty Lights remix by Daft Punk. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points radio show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU. That's neat is not a good sign.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points radio show. I'm still MG.
Yeah, I'm always Dustin.
Yeah, I'm your guy. I'm your boy,
Dustin. I'll always be there, except when I'm not.
Except when you need to come pick me up after school, Dad.
Sound like a drunk uncle I'm always going to be there for you.
You don't have to worry about me. Your father.
Except when I'm drunk.
Again, we always go to the Wachowski. We always go to that.
It's a good voice.
Wazowski, not Wachowski. Those are the Matrix
Wachowski.
People.
Wachowski.
Those are the Matrix
Where's
sisters.
Where's the good movies?
We just heard Solar Sailor by Daft Punk, the Pretty Lights remix before that. Miracle of Sound with Replica. It's a song about prey. And then Life is Strange by Dan Bull, which is a song about, you guessed it, Life is Strange.
Yeah.
Not like in general, not like a say in the game. Which
Is
actually,
game,
I think that's free. All five episodes are free for PlayStation.
Oh, really?
Now. Yeah, for PS Plus.
If you're a PS
Plus subscriber, and if you're not, you're playing. Yeah, Blair. Anyway, so Final Fantasy XII. We left off in a previous.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this, and then some news stuff.
Final Fantasy XII, and I'll try to wrap it up. Introduced the Gambit system. And the Gambit system for me was really cool because it's not that I didn't love Final Fantasy VII, but it's just that Final Fantasy VII didn't age well. It was a game that like had a really big impact at the time because there was not really another game like it. And you are making a face. What is this face?
I've never played it.
You never played Final Fantasy VII? Well, you know what? I'm not going to crucify you. That's probably okay because it didn't age well.
Okay.
It's when they make a remake of it, then play it because it'd probably be really good. It's playable, but it's like there was something I always talk to people about, especially like in computer science, we talk about, like, I really like this game. It's my favorite game. I'm like, well, GoldenEye doesn't look good anymore. Like, it never looked good. But we were okay with it because we didn't have anything better.
That was our standard.
That's all we had. But then right after PS2 and N64 era, specifically, I guess, PS1 and N64 era, we started getting games that we can still play. I could still play a game like the Tomb Raiders on PS2 or Shadow of the Colossus.
Devil May Cry 3 Special Edition.
Right. You could still play those. They still kind of hold up today. Now, granted, they're not in 4K, but you could still play them on a 1080p projector or something, or 1080p TV. And the reason is because we got out of that weird, not uncanny valley, but that weird valley of, well, it's not 8-bit, 16-bit, or really high-end 32-bit. It's actually trying to be like, supposed to look good and supposed to be realistic, but it's on a PS2 or a PS1. We can't do that yet. Or an N64. We can't do that yet. That's why Banjo-Kazooie is still playable. That's why GoldenEye is not. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why you could still play Super Mario World and you can't play other things. So Final Fantasy VII, I never really got into. I skipped 8. I played 9. It was cool. 10 came out when I got a PS2 and I played 10. And it was cool, but I never really liked any of the characters. I didn't really care about Yoon. I didn't really care about Titus. All the voice acting was neat because that's where we can go now.
Yeah.
But Mega Man Legends on PS1 had voice acting. Like, I didn't... That wasn't a new thing for me, so it didn't really have an impact.
Fully, I remember that being advertised on the PS1. Fully voiced.
I loved that. Mega Man Legends and even Legends 2, and if I can ever find a mint jewel case copy of Tron Bond's Adventures or whatever, I will do things for that game. Just to have it in my collection. Dustin's like, really now? But
that opens up a realm of possibilities.
But the Gambit system in 12 really caught my eye because what it did was it as a player, it allowed you to dictate default actions that your characters would take. It wasn't turn-based fighting. You did have a timer that had to kind of fill up, like a bar to fill up before you can attack. Mm-hmm. So that was time-based. But you got to move around. You got to run away. You got to have real-time sort of fighting. And with the Gambit system, you could put the controller down, and it would play the fight for you based on rules that you put in already.
Oh, nice.
And you would buy different Gambit slots, and you would apply, say, you know, the very first thing I always do is, like, I set up healing because I never want to die in a fight. So the very first action someone take is look at all the people in your party, and if anyone's below 30%, go ahead and cast Cure on them, or cast Heal, or First Aid, if they're critical or whatever. Otherwise, attack the enemy that I am attacking.
Right.
And whenever you put all of those on your three or four party members, all of a sudden you've got like a really good team that you can predict what they're going to do. You don't have to micromanage a fight because you know what you're going to do in that case. You have a gambit for it now. It'll just do it. And I really liked that. Like it really...
It took some of the load off.
It took some of the load off.
You're really programming for them. In a way.
In a way, it's just really easy. It's just big blocks of Skittle code that you're putting there. You say, okay, enemy that I'm looking at, nearest
if
visible.
This comes this,
super,
then that.
Super simple. They made it work really, really well, and I was really happy with it. But
it's neat.
It's neato. Gosh, heckin' darn it. It's just, wow.
The bee's knees.
The bee's knees. The cat's pajamas. But yeah, so I've been playing that, and I'm really enjoying it. It's not the best Final Fantasy, but the people that like it are going to like it. Mm. I remember really liking it.
I finished Final Fantasy 15 in here.
Yep.
That was my first
that
Final Fantasy.
That TV's big,
game.
And we in the station,
it was
we got
awesome.
A big old TV.
It was fun.
For
I
radio
just
things.
Stayed in there all night, drank. And it was, I mean, not
like Mountain
water,
Dew.
Like Mountain Dew.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Of course. Let's move on to the news.
Let's move on to the news segment.
I know we did a Twin Galaxies story.
Yeah.
I know we did another. There's been another
Todd
one.
Todd Rogers, yeah.
And what was this guy's name?
Billy Mitchell. And he is sort of the bad boy of, and it sounds weird that I say it like that, but he's the bad boy
bad
records.
Boy.
I mentioned King of Kong. Billy Mitchell was the antagonist in King of Kong. He was the guy that held the Donkey Kong Jr. and the Donkey Kong records for
Not
so
anymore.
Long. Well, he held them for so long, and then Steve Weeb came through, and that was what King of Kong was about, and he dethroned him, and he beat him, and then he got rebeat by the guy, and they went back and forth for a while, but tons of people have held this record. But recently... A recent record set by Billy Mitchell has been come into question and kind of thrown out by Twin Galaxies, which is unprecedented for them to throw out one of his records.
Yes.
I actually don't know if – and I don't
know the details.
I don't – okay, go ahead.
There was a system that if you load Donkey Kong into – it's called the MA something system. I can't remember the
MAME.
Initial.
MAME.
The
MAME. You're talking, MAME. Yeah, so MAME.
The MAME system. When you do that, the frames load differently than when you do it on the arcade.
Right. It loads it from right to left on the arcade. This loads everything at
up,
once.
It's
a buffering issue.
It's an up and down almost looking thing. And when they were looking at the recordings for that, they were noticing that it was loading like it was put in MAME. Not like it was put in the regular arcade of Donkey Kong.
Right.
It was loading up and down, not
and
right to left like it
the
should.
The difference with that is that the MAME cabinet will have slightly different rules and better the game in a lot of ways, but that's not the same as playing an original. Not all Donkey Kongs are created the same, you know, created equally.
So, and because of that, it was realized that it was part of a MAME system. And also, there was a problem of this was a video recording someone did, and that's usually not a. You can't just use that.
Sometimes it is admissible as evidence, and it depends. I mean, you have to have goodwill built up and everything.
Right.
I'm reading the Twin Galaxies edit right now. He wasn't removed from Twin Galaxies. He was removed from the Donkey Kong forums.
Oh,
it was a separate thing. And we haven't read this specifically. But Team Galaxies is in the process of fully reviewing the compelling evidence provided by Jeremy Young, whose name is Zelnia. Mm-hmm. That's his screen name, I guess, to support his current score dispute case against Billy Mitchell's Donkey Kong score. We will do this thoroughly and impartially. In the meantime, we will continue to observe this discussion by experts in the community, and we'll also examine any further evidence that may provide during this review period.
Well, the argument is sound, is that it shouldn't buffer any other way if it's in a Donkey Kong system. It's not possible.
I don't think that is brought into question. Right. If it is, then there's two ways I think Billy Mitchell can spin it. He can say, no, that's completely wrong. It is this. Or he could say, turns out it was actually MAME, but I didn't know that when I submitted it, so I'll just beat it on a regular one. And he never will.
Not to be whatever. If you're the Donkey Kong whatever, you would know.
So this is the interesting thing about that. And it's something that, especially at these big, because most of the time these people own their own arcades, like if they have world record champions on them.
Right.
Whenever you beat it on your own thing and then you go to an arena or an arcade to beat it, they'll load a motherboard into the cartridge, into the cabinet for you. Mm-hmm. So the motherboard, the game isn't like on a jump drive. It's a big giant board that is a Donkey Kong board, and it's original Donkey Kong board that they continuously keep in pristine condition.
Right.
They'll load it into the board, they'll connect all the levers and toggles and buttons and everything and the screen, and then you'll play on that. That is probably, I think I've seen a video from back in the day when they were showing the changing of the boards. If he went over there and they say, I want Donkey Kong Jr. original or whatever, then they just gave him the wrong thing. But at the same time, and the question is, well, so if you're going to record from the original board, recording that video directly is a pain.
Yeah.
Because it's so old. It was in the 80s. Like, they just didn't know what hookups we're going to have today. But if you do it from MAME, MAME is much easier with exporting that video sort of in real time, because you build those things today. We're going to have to just kind of follow the story and let you know next week, right?
No, because, I know he wasn't able to reproduce that live. He was never able to reproduce that live.
I mean,
but it's also very difficult
to do.
That's
the thing. It was a world record.
Right.
You know?
I gave him the benefit of the doubt, because that is a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah. I don't think.
And it probably took him a few tries.
You know, is Billy Mitchell a world-class, you know, video gamer? Absolutely. He's a competitive gamer. He's good at what he does. And he has this larger-than-life persona that he's built up. I mean, he always wears, like, an American flag tie or patriotic tie any place he goes. He's got this big sweatback, you know, kind of long hair, mullet-y type hair. He's got that thing down. And unfortunately, like, do I think that's the real Billy Mitchell? No, probably not.
No,
he's probably
that's a good show.
He's probably a cool guy, but he has this entourage that builds this persona. This doesn't help that persona whenever, you know, now all of a sudden we have Todd Rogers and we have Billy Mitchell, a great competitive gamer in his own right that has set so many world records. And I don't particularly care for Billy Mitchell or anything, but he set so many records. Now there's this potential thing that'll say, and I don't think Twin Galaxies, because they're really tight with Billy Mitchell, I don't think they're going to say we're throwing out everything Mitchell's ever done.
Right.
Just because of this one thing. If he admits that, oh, it turns out this was a MAME board, I was not trying to fake anything, I have plenty of awards.
And that's fine.
That's valid. If he tries to stay behind it, though, who knows? Don't know.
And that's the thing. If he says, no, it's an original, and then we go in there and we do find it MAME, that's hiding something.
Yeah.
And that's cheating.
As of February 2nd, though, his scores are as is.
Well, they're probably making the right decision over there. Wait, find out until you get some more intel.
Right.
No, we're not going to say that. It's find out. Well, if we do find out that it is illegitimate, totally take them down.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. I mean, the world has plenty of cheaters in it. We don't need another one, especially with something as nice and as wholesome as Donkey Kong.
And don't misrepresent us. We're not saying Billy Mitchell's a cheater.
Not yet. We may.
We may. The verdict is innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
And, you know, the verdict's still out on that. Let's go to the second bit of
news. We have the last bit of news because
we are
nearly
out
of time. So way back in 1999, I played a game called Battlezone 2. I really, really enjoyed it. It was this game that did not get a ton of play, but it was an FPS RTS. So it was a first-person shooter. You got in vehicles, you had a gun and jumped out, and then it was an RTS where you can control units and you can build a base from a first-person perspective.
There was they had a Game Informer article about a whole section, a whole magazine was dedicated to a game called Command & Conquer. There was an FPS Command & Conquer. They were going to try to do that, and it got scrubbed.
It got scrubbed because Battlezone 2, despite being loved by fans, cult classic sort of thing, it didn't do very well. I loved it. It did not do very well. It was Pandemic Studios and Activision that made and published it.
Yeah.
And it was the sequel to Battlezone, which was a sort of remade version or a fleshed out version of a 1980s arcade game. You construct the base, you build your armies, you send out waves. It's super good. I loved it because it was all futuristic and everything.
But
fully voice acted. Anyway, it didn't do very well. But Battlezone 98 Redux and Battlezone VR, which came out last year and 2016, Rebellion, which made both of those games, is now announcing Battlezone Combat Commander. I'm so excited. Which is going to be a remastered Battlezone 2. And I'm so happy. It's coming out later this year. And I am super, super happy. It's doing multiplayer. It's doing 4K. It's doing tons of things. I signed up for the closed beta. I haven't gotten in yet. Yeah. But I am super, super happy.
By the way, speaking of nostalgia game, if anybody ever wants to send me a copy of Combat Flight Simulator 2 Pacific Theater, I have very fond memories of that game. So, one more bit of news.
What you got?
Sad bit of news. Red Dead Redemption 2 been delayed again. October 26th, I want to say. We have a solid release date now, but there are a boatload of features that have been announced. We'll go through them real quick. Battle Royale mode.
Yes, indeed.
Open world multiplayer. First-person perspective.
I'm interested to see them give the Grand Theft Auto 5 treatment to Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, me too.
Heist. Can you imagine just literally do heists, like bank heists?
Oh, my gosh. Can you think of anything more fun in the Old West?
No. That's what... And you could, like, hijack a train. Eventually, there will be a Back to the Future DLC.
Of course.
It's going to be so good.
Yeah, and those are pretty much the key features there. I'm sure there's more, and next time we get back at you guys, I'll do a little bit more research, but I think we're just out of time right now.
Yeah, we're out of time. We're going to wrap it up.
But let's get out of here.
So thanks for hanging out with us. You do it all the time, and if you don't, thanks for making this the first time.
Smooches.
We're the team behind the Experience Points radio show, the show you've been listening to for the past hour. We do this every Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. We have a website with all of our news reviews, and our audio is on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music podcast services and Spotify. Again, that's kind of backlog. We're working on that. ExpPoints.com. Remember, double tap the P. ExpPoints.com/social is all our social media. I'm not going to run through them because Dustin hates when I do that. There's bonus DLC with the Radio...
Radio FX app. It's only free.
It's only free. $0.
We're taking a note from CD Projekt Red here. Give it away. Free DLC.
That's it. You want it? You can go get it. It's on the app stores unless you have a Windows phone or BlackBerry. What are you doing?
It's still Radio FX, I think.
Really? Those two dead platforms?
Probably not. No.
I say dead platforms like Windows Phone is gone, let's be realistic.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but Radio FX is on. I know it's on Apple at least.
Awesome. Well, go ahead and look us up. Listen live to all of the other fine shows that KSLU has to offer. We are out for the night, but we are going to leave you with two songs. This is Airbrushed by Anna Monoguchi and History Repeating Part 1 and Part 2 by The Megas. We will see you guys next Wednesday. Happy Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras.
Bon temps roulé. We are from the flat south. This is my best French impression. It's pretty much just like
You can do it. It's like Cajun, man.
You can catch the bees, see the boobies.
Okay,
I'll do that. Yes, why not? Anyway, thanks everybody. Y'all be safe out there, and we'll see you guys next week.
See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye. Gucci.